You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am here with my colleague Steve Gilbert, who has, since the beginning of MLB.com, covered the Arizona Diamondbacks for our website. So we have the expert on board here. And Steve, thank you very much for joining us. And let's start in on the Diamondbacks. We're active, signing Cuban slugger Yasmani Tomas. So a very lucrative contract. Very interesting, though, because now we're sort of hearing a few things about where he may play. And he might be tried out at third base. And it seems like he might not really be on board with that yet. But the organization certainly seems to think that that's where they'll look at him most at spring training.
Yeah, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise, but we thought that they saw him as an outfielder. At least that's what some of the reports that we had gotten were. But then Chappelle told us just last week that they're going to give him a shot at third base at first. And I think he's similar in weight to Pablo Sandoval, at least what he's listed as. So, you know, Pablo's had some success over there at third base. So if it does, then it gives him some options in the outfield. If not, they could probably play him out in left field and still be okay.
Does he have, I mean, when he's being compared to Pablo in size, girth, I mean, I'm not so sure that's like this wonderful thing. Like, oh, he could totally play third base because he's built like Pablo Sandoval. I mean, what do you know about Tomas? Is he a real fit guy? Does he keep himself in good shape?
You know, Dave Stewart has talked about the fact that he's redistributed some weight that he's had recently, and so he's getting in even better shape. He's got a lot of power, maybe a little more power than Pablo, and that's something that they really wanted in their lineup, that they really wanted to add to their lineup. And so it was a little bit of a surprise. Actually, when the Diamondbacks came out on top in the bidding for him, I don't think a lot of people had him pegged going to Arizona at first. But they signed him to the largest contract in franchise history, $68.5 million, eclipsing Randy Johnson's deal from back in the day. So they believe that he can add a lot of power to that lineup, whether he plays a third or out in the outfield.
And it's funny because leading up to the winter meetings, it's all about like, okay, what does the team need to do? And they have to make some kind of splash during the winter meetings. And sometimes it's just the groundwork is being laid. But actually, when it comes to the Diamondbacks, they've been very active already. I mean, it wouldn't be shocking if they left San Diego and hadn't really done anything here. But they have upgraded their pitching. So obviously they need to probably do a little bit more in their starting rotation. But where do you see that all shaking out right now?
You know, Dave Stewart, I tell you, he's been a man of action since taking over. I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, he didn't wait for the winter meetings. He didn't even wait for right after the GM meetings. He got Jeremy Hellickson. Before the winter meetings, they signed Tomas. Before the winter meetings, they made a deal to trade Didi Gregorius in a three-team deal that got them Robbie Ray and an infielder that they like. So he's been aggressive. And a matter of fact, when we asked him about some of the rumors that were out there about Miguel Montero, last week he said, well, you guys know how I operate. If I was inclined to move him, he'd probably be moved by now. So, I mean, this is his first taste of being a GM, and so far he's been very decisive in his moves. It sounds like if there's a move that he feels makes sense, they're going to do it, or at least their end, they're prepared to do it. It's a matter of waiting on other teams.
Those three-team trades are often very, well, they're not often very complicated. They're always very complicated, and it sort of just comes out of the blue. Just from the Diamondbacks' perspective, I mean, how difficult was it for them to sort of get all the pieces in place? And when you involve two other teams, like, kind of what's the anatomy of that whole situation?
Well, I think the Yankees were interested in Didi Gregorius, obviously, as a shortstop. And they engaged the Diamondbacks in some one-on-one talks, and they really couldn't find a match. The Diamondbacks didn't like didn't prefer some of the pitchers that the Yankees were offering. But now the Tigers did like one of the Yankee pitchers, and so Brian Cashman got Dave Dombrowski involved and said, hey, if you can get Didi Gregorius from the Diamondbacks, then we can give you this pitcher that you like. And so that's kind of how that transpired. And Tony La Russa, when he was studying kind of like how to get into the front office last year, spent a lot of time in Detroit with Dave Dombrowski because they go way back to Chicago in the early 80s. So he and Dave had a very good relationship. So it was kind of a natural there for them to be able to talk. And they liked, again, they liked Robbie Ray, left-hander that they got, and they liked the infield prospect that they got. So it kind of went from there.
What was your reaction? I mean, you know Gregorius, so I know this is more like on the Yankees side. But, I mean, just what was your reaction to that? Okay, so now he's going to play for the Yankees. It's going to take Derek Jeter's place, no big deal. What kind of guy is he? And did you have a reaction like, oh, well, this is fine, this is something he can handle, or, you know, this might be a little bit difficult?
Well, you know, what was interesting about that whole thing is when the Diamondbacks acquired him, Kevin Towers, in a conference call with reporters, said that when he first saw Didi Gregorius, it reminded him of a young Derek Jeter. Now, he was referring to him as in terms of his athleticism and when he saw him, you know, Derek
Why
Jeter
do people
in high
do
school.
That? Why know. Do people do that?
And he meant it in, as not like he's going to be the next Derek Jeter, but it's just so ironic that now he is going to be the guy that replaces Derek Jeter, apparently, for the Yankees. But Didi's kind of a quiet guy. It'll be interesting to see how he handles the spotlight in New York. I don't know how anybody handles a spotlight in New York very well. I mean, there's so much media attention. It's hard to know until they actually do it. But it'll be interesting to see how he handles it.
Now, Robbie Ray, let's talk about him a little bit, a power left-handed pitcher. So, I mean, I saw one comment like, well, we're not really sure where he fits in, whether it'll be like into the rotation or reliever. But then somebody else said he's definitely like a top to middle of the order or middle of the rotation guy. So what is he?
Well, that I can tell you what Dave Stewart said he sees him as a middle to upper rotation starter. Whether he's ready at the start of this year, I don't know. They're going to let him battle it out during spring training, but he was really the key to the deal for them. Again, trying to build depth in that rotation so that they can have some competition. They've had a couple of really bad injuries with Patrick Corbin and Bronson Arroyo, both needing Tommy John surgery. So they're trying to create some depth in that rotation, and so they see him as being a guy that, if he's on, can be mid to upper part of the rotation, and they liked what they saw of him. They got to see him in Arizona Fall League, kind of a home field advantage for the Diamondbacks because they get to see a lot of those guys down there.
That's
true. They see a lot of games. So they got some real good looks at him, they felt like, during the Fall League, and they feel like they got themselves a quality pitcher, and we'll see.
I saw that the Diamondbacks, their payroll is around $100 million, which surprised me a little bit because I sort of see them as a team that's trying to keep the cost down and still working towards something and hasn't quite gotten there. But do you see that the payroll kind of being around the $100 million mark?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing how they juggle all this, because it was 110 at opening day last year, which was a franchise record. It was even bigger than it was in 01 and 02 when they were, you know, winning a World Series and winning division titles. So when we talked to Derek Hall about it last week, he said, yeah, we're probably right around $100 million right now. Probably would prefer to be around 90, 95. And they still have things on their wish list, the left-handed bat in the lineup, adding more depth to the pitching staff. So it's kind of be interesting to see how they finesse all that. Maybe it means trading a contract like Miguel Montero's to kind of make room in the payroll, because he's owed $40 million over the next 3 years. So, but right now their payroll is right around $100 million. And I think they probably lost some money last year given the way the team played and the attendance was down. So it's going to be it's interesting to see how they manage to get down to that 90-95 figure.
There's been a lot of changes throughout baseball in front offices and in the manager's office. And so Chip Hale, tell us a little bit about him. I mean, this was lauded throughout the industry when he was hired. I mean, he seems to be a very respected person. So what are your impressions of him, and how do you see him sort of fitting into this whole thing?
Chip's a competitor, and he's a guy that's paid his dues. He was a minor league manager after his major league playing career, and then he was a coach for a number of years. I can tell you how intense he is. I participate in that Diamondbacks fantasy camp every year to do stories for MLB.com, and he's a guy that takes that very seriously when he managed the team in the fantasy camp. He's a guy that his teams won it every year. They won the championship that he was there because he was – He wanted every one of his guys to get – these are doctors and lawyers and not athletes, but he wanted every one of his guys to get better during the week, and that's the way he approaches everything. If they're keeping score, he wants to win. So he's definitely a fiery guy, a competitive guy, and a guy that's paid his dues to get this opportunity.
That's one thing about baseball people, that it doesn't matter what they're doing. If it's just flipping a coin in the air just to pass 5 minutes, they want to win that. I mean, they are the most competitive people.
Well, I'll tell you, his team lost a morning game, and he told them all that he wanted them to spend the lunch hour. Now, keep in mind, these are people who paid a lot of money to be there. He wanted them to spend the lunch hour thinking about how they could be better for the afternoon game. So that'll tell you how competitive he is.
How did that go over well with the participants?
You know what? They
had to have been half joking.
What's that? I'm sure he was partially joking, but he was pretty intense. But they all kind of bought into it. He was able to get them to buy into, hey, if we're playing, we're going to win. It's more fun to win. So and he pushed everybody to get better and work on their skills and stuff. So it was whereas some of the managers were just more concerned with, you know, let's take it easy out there. Nobody get hurt, and let's all go out and have fun tonight. You know, so.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of strained hamstrings that can happen to these guys that pay thousands of dollars to participate in these things.
And I can personally vouch for that. And they get more strained as you get older and older, for sure.
Thank you very much, Steve. And thank you for joining us for MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Celebrate the holidays with the official online shop of Major League Baseball, the MLB.com shop. Give the gift of baseball to the whole family with jerseys, caps, outerwear, menswear, women's and kids' wear, collectibles, and home decor. MLB.com has gifts for all the baseball fans on your list, now with free ground shipping on all orders over $50. Do your holiday shopping now at MLB.com/shop.